The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hi, and welcome to Grace in Focus. We are currently, day by day, answering questions that came in from listeners like you. We call it our Q&A programs. Today, the question, are eternal salvation and entering the kingdom of heaven the same? Be sure and stay tuned at the end of the program. I'll give you more information about the Grace Evangelical Society and this program, Grace in Focus. Right now, Bob Wilkin and Dave Renfro are standing by to answer our question for the day.
All right, I am back with David Renfro, and I think you have another question for us, don't you, David?
Yes, there's another one from Carolyn. And Carolyn says, can you tell me if salvation and entering the kingdom of heaven are the same thing?
This is kind of a complicated question on multiple fronts, but let me first talk briefly about the word save and salvation. Save and salvation, and I discuss this in my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible, which if you want to get it, you can go to faithalone.org and you can see it there. I point out that in the Old Testament, the word save or deliver or rescue never refer to regeneration.
I agree.
Okay. I think we do have a few places that refer to the national salvation of Israel, which is when Messiah is going to deliver the nation from Gentile oppression.
Destroy Israel's enemies and restore them to the promised land.
Yeah, and give them what the Old Testament calls rest, and the
exactly.
New Testament calls rest too.
Exactly, yeah.
So they'll have rest from their enemies, like Zechariah 9:9 uses that. But there's no place where you get like a John 3:16 in the Old Testament, especially John 3:17, where it uses the word save. The word salvation, Carolyn, most typically does not refer to the new birth. In the New Testament, my studies suggest that 7 times out of 10, salvation in the New Testament is deliverance for some sort of difficulty in this life.
I agree.
Like the disciples in the boat's filling with water, it's a huge storm, and they say, Lord, save us, we're perishing.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation there doesn't refer to salvation from hell. Perishing doesn't refer to eternal condemnation. It's they're about to die, and they're asking for salvation. Or James 5:15, the prayer of faith will save the sick.
Well, that's the one I was going to bring out, you know, praying for the sick that they may be saved. But obviously in the context, pray for the sick, the physically ill, that they may be, quote, saved. And that one obviously means to be healed. In other words, to preserve their physical life.
Right. So only about 3 times out of 10 in the New Testament do the words save and salvation refer to regeneration. For example, in Ephesians 2:8-9, mm-hmm. by grace you have been saved through faith.
Mm-hmm.
That salvation is described in verse 5 of Ephesians 2, where he says, he made you alive, by grace you have been saved.
Mm-hmm.
And so the salvation is being made alive, being regenerated.
Right.
And in John 3:16, he says, whoever believes has everlasting life. And then in 3:17, he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So saved is having everlasting life there.
Right.
But those are actually relatively rare uses.
I agree.
So I'm sure what Carolyn means by saved is regenerated, born again, have everlasting life. And she's saying, how does that connect with entering the kingdom? They're related but different. Well, let me give you several ways. First of all believers of all time will enter the millennial kingdom, right?
Right.
Going all the way back to Adam and Eve and Abraham and Moses and David and all the believers in the Old Testament, all believers from the church age, and all believers from the tribulation, they're all going to go into the millennium, right?
Right.
And entering the kingdom, you don't have to be a believer to enter the kingdom if you're alive during the tribulation and you're a baby or a small child,
mm-hmm.
or I would argue all the way up to age 19. Some people would say, no, the age of accountability is 12 or 13, or it's different for different people. But whatever age it is, unbelieving people under that age are going to go in, right, into the millennium.
So it would be like what they say about older people, 70 is the new 50.
Yeah.
In your case, 13 is the new 20.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. And the other thing I would suggest is that if by salvation, Carolyn means everlasting life, well, that's a present possession, right?
Mm-hmm.
John 6:47, he who believes in me has everlasting life.
Right.
So it's not like we get everlasting life when we die.
No.
But when do we enter the kingdom?
That'll be in the future.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I don't think it's the same. I think entering the kingdom is a product of salvation for those that are above the age of accountability, that kind
right.
of thing. I ran into another question that's kind of related
all right.
to this.
All right.
And I think it's interesting because I was asked one time about there are some cultures that when you use the phrase everlasting life, they have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so what a lot of people would ask is believing for everlasting life the same as going to heaven? Because they understand going to heaven, you know, some of these
yeah.
cultures, but they don't understand this everlasting life stuff.
This is a great, great point, David. I appreciate you bringing that up. I would say this. We need to believe in Jesus for what he promises. Remember, like in John 4:10, he talks about the gift and the giver. Mm-hmm. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that speaks to you and says, give me a drink, you would have asked him.
Right.
And he would have given you living water. And the living water is the saving message that Jesus, the giver, gives the gift of everlasting life, John 4:14. But you don't necessarily need to know, it seems to me anyway, that those words, everlasting life, you don't necessarily have to know those words. You might know the equivalent. For example, you have in Ephesians 2:8-9 the word salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is true, it's made alive in verse 5, but even there it doesn't say everlasting life, it says
right.
made alive. Now, the readers know, because he's writing to believers, that he's talking about everlasting life.
Sure.
But I'll give you a funny story. When I came to faith, David, I came to faith through a person named Warren Wilkie.
Mm-hmm.
He was with Athletes in Action, and you know Warren.
I know Warren, yeah.
And Warren, I came to him, I didn't have assurance, and he said, well, you need to know Ephesians 2:8-9. And he said, for by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like one of those yes-but counselees, and I was like, boy, yes, but what about James 2?
Mm-hmm.
He'd give me some answer, and then he quoted Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, gift of God, not of works, as he mentioned both. He said, whatever James 2 means, it can't contradict Ephesians 2:8-9.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, yes, but what about Hebrews 6? He'd give a short answer, and then he'd say, but whatever it means, it can contradict, and he'd quote Ephesians 2:8-9 again. This went on for 5 sessions. I met with him 5 times.
Mm.
And at the end of the 5 times, I was convinced.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I believed, David?
Mm.
I believed that I was going to heaven when I died.
Wow.
And I believed it was guaranteed. How do you say that?
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Yeah, isn't that Charles Barkley or something, I think? I don't know. But anyway, I was convinced it was guaranteed. Now, several months later, I was in one of the a Bible study with Campus Crusade for Christ on the 10 transferable concepts, and I came to this question. It said, John 6:47 is where Jesus said, he who believes in me has everlasting life. What is the significance of the tense of the verb has mm-hmm. in John 6:47. And I wrote down, wow, this means I have everlasting life
right now
because I'm a believer. Well,
yeah.
Guess what? I had believed in Jesus for my salvation 3 months earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I was secure forever. I believed the concept mm-hmm. of everlasting life. I believed I was eternally secure. I just thought that everlasting life kind of thing started when you died. And I thought what we had between then was salvation.
Mm-hmm.
We had the Holy Spirit. We were indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Well, you can tell I had some holes in my theology.
It needed work, yeah.
But I remember asking Zane Hodges about that, and I said, Zane, what do you think? You think I came to faith in September or a couple of months later when I was convinced about the present possession of everlasting life? And he said, no, you got the concept back there in September.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say yes and no on the person who believes about going to heaven. There are many people in many cultures who believe, and in many religious Christian traditions, that they will go to heaven when they die as a result of believing in Jesus if they hold fast, if they are faithful, if they continue
right.
to believe. If that's their view, they don't yet believe the promise of John 3:16, right?
I would say so, that the characteristic, so to speak, of what they believe is not what's biblical. The biblical message is that the salvation is everlasting at the moment of belief.
At the moment of belief, we need to believe it's irrevocable.
And the result of that is you get to go to heaven.
Right. And so whether you understand that as irrevocable salvation or everlasting life, or someone might use the term eternal security, or once saved, always saved, or guaranteed you're going to heaven, or you're a guaranteed part of God's forever family, whatever that is, you get the fact that it's everlasting,
right.
It's irrevocable, right?
Right.
But the problem I have with the beginning of your story about some cultures, they don't understand everlasting life, I think that's fine. Use the expression Jesus used, because they're not going to understand lots of things, right? And then when they say, well, wait a minute, don't people die? You'll say, oh, yes, you need to understand everlasting life is talking about having God's life right. that never ends. And that's different than physical life, which ends temporarily, but right. then later will be resurrected.
I think it's a matter of definition and also communication. I think when you evangelize, regardless of culture, use the biblical words, believing for in Jesus for everlasting life. And if they go, what in the world is everlasting life? Then you can say, well, some people call that, the result of that is going to heaven and living in heaven in God's presence
yeah.
forever.
Yeah. And even that's slightly misleading, because actually we only go to heaven if we die before the rapture. But our ultimate destiny is the millennial earth and then the new earth. But that's another story for another program.
Well, yeah, we need to dig into that as a separate thing.
Right.
But a lot of times you need to make sure that everybody agrees on the same definition of some of the terms. Like you mentioned earlier, the word salvation.
Right.
Otherwise, it's like two ships passing in the dark. You're not going to communicate correctly.
That's what passing in the night means. They're passing in the dark. Okay, Carolyn, thank you for your question, and y'all keep Grace in Focus.
Thank you both for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on topics you hear on this program? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials. But one of our popular options is our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or one of the guests here on the program? Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next Grace in Focus program, in John 13, 1 through 20, what is the meaning of foot washing and how should we think about it today? Please join us. This is the Grace Evangelical Society reminding you to always keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.